very happy people.
Okay, so last week we started discussing the personality of Rivka and how that affected her relationship with Yitzchak. We'll come back to it a little bit, but the thesis we basically built up last week was that Rivka was meant to be the new Avram, and we noted the parallels, not just that she was. There's a lot of charts on this on this week's chart three, I think. That she was meant to be the new Avram, not just in terms of Chesed, but we noted a lot of the linguistic parallels. They were both told to leave their home, their father's house, to go to a new land. They get the same brachos. They both have a moment of Rivka has a moment of struggle leaving her family. It's not just that she happens to leave, but they actually try to stop her from leaving, at least delay it, and she has to make the active decision to go. So we argue that that's really what, when Avram insists on getting a wife for Yitzhak from another land who's going to follow in this path, that what he's looking for is someone who's going to take his role. And then we argued by the corollary to that claim, was that if Rivka is the new Avram, then Yitzchak, right, is taking a very different role. And we noted that in some of the Midrashim, they really identify Yitzchak with Sarah, right? He's taking his mother's role, sort of in the relationship. We noted that the sort of flip of Al Ken Yazov Ishet Aviv Et Imo V'Davak B'Ishto, that the classic model from Bereishis is that the husband leaves his family to build his own family, and here Rivka is the one leaving her family, and they're moving into there's sources over here, into Sarah's tent. So that was what we talked about last week. What I want to do this week is sort of make the picture a little bit more complicated, a little bit more nuanced, fill in a little bit the portrait of Yitzchak's personality, and then come back to the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka and see what we come up with once we put the two personalities together. So we noted that a lot of people try to argue, based on sort of the evidence we'd piled up last week, that Rivka is the active member in the relationship, and Yitzchak is a weaker, more passive member of the relationship. But while it's true that Rivka is the more Avram-like character in the relationship, that characterization of Yitzchak is a little bit problematic. So just to illustrate who Yitzchak's character a little bit, so you look at source one. Last week we went through the story of Eliezer and Rivka. Now, if you remember, what was Eliezer referred to almost exclusively throughout the story with Rivka? Right, he had a title. Right, so he called himself Eved Avraham, and then he had another title which was given to him by Rivka and by Lavan and by her family, was always, if you want to look back, was always Ha'ish, the man. Now, Ish implies an important person, a free person, and Eved, obviously, right, slave, is not a title of honor. And despite the fact that Eliezer time and time again introduces himself as Eved Avraham, that I'm the Eved, they desist from calling him an Eved. They always see him as an Ish. And the Psukim actually emphasize this point, right? Even every time he says, I'm an Eved, they would turn back and say, they would say to the Ish. And it makes sense, right? He may have been an Eved, but they didn't see Avraham, they saw Eliezer. And Eliezer, right, what was the scene? He's coming in with 10 laden donkeys with an entourage, right? He doesn't look like a slave. He's the one leading this entire caravan of people with all the wealth and all the prestige that comes with it. And that's the way that Rivka and her family approach Eliezer the entire time. Until, and this is the end of Chayei Sarah, this is source one. So Vatakam Rivka Venarota Vatir Kavnal Hagmalim Vatilachna Hare Haish. So Rivka and her maids get up and they ride on the camels following Haish, the man. Vaikacha Eved et Rivka Vailach, where there's this constant tension where Eliezer feels, because he is an Eved, But Rivka and her family treat him as an ish, right? So the pasuk is drawing attention to that. She's vatelachan acharei ha'ish. She follows the ish because she views him as the important person. He is in fact the eved. V'Yitzchak, and then when she gets to see to Israel, V'Yitzchak bam mibo be'er lachai ro'i. Yitzchak is coming from this place, Be'er Lachai Ro'i, Hu Yoshev Be'er Tanegev, which is in the south, Vayitze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh Lifnot Arev, and Yitzchak goes out, whatever Lasuach means exactly, Chazal say it means to daven, but he's going out to the field at night, Vayisainav, and he raises his eyes, Vayarvi Hineg Malim Ba'em, he sees the caravan coming back with the camels, Vatisa Rivka Ed Eineha, Vateira Ed Yitzchak. So she sees Yitzchak vatipol me'al gamal. She falls off the camel. Vatomer, and what does she say? El ha'eved, to the eved. Mi ha'ish halazeh. Who is this man? Ha'olech baseh likratenu, who's coming towards us. Vayomer ha'eved, and so the servant said, Hu adoni, he is my master. Vatikach ha'tzayif vatiskas. So she takes the veil and she covers her face. Now, has she talked to Yitzchak yet? No. Does she even know who he is yet? No. And yet, there's something about the way Yitzchak carries himself, and then Nitziv points this out, that by looking at him, right, she hasn't talked to him, she doesn't even know who he is yet, right? For the entire time, she's treated Eliezer as the Ish, and then for some reason, there's something about Yitzchak's sort of persona that he exudes an impression that he is the Ish, and she suddenly realizes that Eliezer is the Eved. And he, right, again, this is before she talks to him. This is before she even knows who it is. She already understands that Yitzchak is a great person. And compared to him, Eliezer is no longer the Ish, he's the Eved. And the Pesukim seem to be drawing our attention to this, right? Again, the first Pasuk had said that she thought he was the Ish, but he was the Eved. And here, just by seeing Yitzchak, she turns for the first time to the Eved and said, who is that Ish? He's an Ish and you are an Eved. So Nitziv points out that Yitzchak's personality seems to be, whatever it is, and we don't know what it is yet, right? To say that he didn't, right, he was, you know, passive and sort of a meek character doesn't seem to fit the evidence, because here we have that he seems to have been someone who simply, by the way he carried himself, it was evident to all that he was a great person. Right, so that's point one. Now, Rav Ezra Bick, you know, tries to take this a step further, and he argues that maybe the reason that Rivka fell off the camel was because she was so overwhelmed by this awe-inspiring figure. I'm not sure we have to go that far, but it's clear just linguistically that the Pesukim are drawing attention to the fact that Yitzchak was a person who you saw immediately that he was a strong personality. So,
does it literally mean that she fell off the camel?
Right, so that's again a dispute amongst the Mepharshim. Some say she fell off, and some say she got off. It didn't mean she fell off. And again, whether you think she fell off or she got off is going to depend on what you think the motivation was and caused her to fall. One way or the other, and without, you know, Rabik's addition, I still think the linguistic point is clear, that right, something about Yitzchak seems to exude greatness. So if we want to reformulate it slightly, I think our analysis was still right, and we'll actually add evidence to this, that Rivka is the more Avram-like character, the more outgoing, the more, you know, the leader in the group. But Yitzchak, it's not that he's a meek character, he's a strong character, but he possesses a different type of strength. So what I want to do is try to figure out what it is, right? Who is Yitzchak exactly? What is that strength that he carries? So I think the Midrashim try to draw attention to the type of strength that Yitzchak has. So the first Midrash, this is actually Gemara, is in source 2. And Gemara here tells a story. So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Mai dichtiv ki ata avinu ki Avraham lo yadanu v'Yisrael lo yakirenu, ata Hashem avinu goalenu me'olam shemecha. What does it mean when the pasuk says, "For you are our father," because Avram didn't know us, and Yisrael, meaning Yaakov, didn't recognize us. You God are our father. So there's this pasuk which seems to imply that the Jews turn to God when they can't turn to Avram or to Yaakov. There's some quality in Avram and Yaakov that's lacking that doesn't allow the Jewish people to turn to to them in time of need. But who does it not say? Yitzchak. So based on that observation, Chazal build a story. And they say, Latid, in the future, Latid Lavo, in the time to come, Yomar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham. God will say to Avraham, and he'll say, Banecha Chatuli, your children have sinned against me. Amar lefanav, so Avram says, Ribono shel olam, yimachu al kedushat shemecha. So then let them be destroyed for the holiness of your name. Amar, so God says, Amar, Amar leile Yaakov, the havelet sar gidul banim. Okay, Avram doesn't get it. Right, Avram says, oh, you sinned, let's get rid of the Jewish people. Let me turn to Yaakov. Maybe Yaakov will have more mercy on them because, look, he had a hard time raising children. His children were mischievous. Reuven sinned, Shimon sinned, Levi sinned, Yehuda sinned. Yosef is in Mitzrayim. He almost loses Shimon, right? He had a hard time. Maybe he has more empathy for children. Efshar debay rachem alai. So maybe he will beseech me and ask for mercy on his children, unlike Avram, who's willing to write them off. So Amar leis, and now he turns to Yaakov, and he says, Banecha chatu, your children sinned. Amar lefanav. So he said to him, Ribono shel olam, master of the universe, yimachu akdush ha-shemecha, so destroy them. Amar, he said, Lo bisabitama, velo bidardiki etza. The grandfather has no wisdom, and has no reason, and the grandchild has no insight. So now he turns to the last patriarch left, Amar lo li Yitzchak. So he says to Yitzchak, Banecha chatuli, your children have sinned against me. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, banai velo banecha. What do you mean, my children? My children, not your children. We're partners in this. When the Jewish people said Nase v'nishma, and they were willing to commit to follow the Torah without knowing what it said, Karata lahem b'ni b'chori, you called them your firstborn. Achshav, but now they're making mistakes, they're sinning, and now you want to give up on responsibility for them. Achshav banai v'lo banecha, you think they're mine and not yours. Va'od. And he said, furthermore, Kamachatu, how much could they possibly have sinned? Kamashnotav shel adam, how long do people live? Shivim shana, 70 years? Fine. Until 20, you don't get punished. Right? In heaven, you don't get punished until you're 20. We're left with 50 years. For 25 years, half of people's days, they're sleeping. Halavai. But fine. Halavai. 25 years. Say another half of that time, let's say they're eating, drinking, they're using the bathroom. Average person, after you get rid of sleeping, eating, regular bodily functions, you're left with 12 and a half years. Imata sovelet kulam, mutav. If you're willing to burden yourself with 12 and a half years of sin and forgive them for it, good, in love. If not, I'll take half and you take half. I'm willing to take responsibility for 6 1/4 years of sin. You don't want to take any of it? Sure. Give me all 12 and a half. Didn't I sacrifice myself to you? Okay, in the reward that I get, the merit that I have for having brought myself as a carbon to you at the Akedah, so forgive them for 12 and a half years of sin. Paschu v'amru, so God said, and the Jews said, Ata avinu Yitzchak, you are our father. Right? They read in, it's not God, it's you, it's God and Yitzchak. The missing av in that pasuk are our father. Amar lehem Yitzchak. And Yitzchak said, no, ad sha'atem mikal sin li, kalsu l'kodesh baruch hu, don't praise me, praise God. Mechavelu Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'inayu, and he shows them God, Miyadnasu Enem Lamarom V'omrim Atash Amavinu Goalinu Elam Shemecha, and he directs their eyes towards heaven. Okay, right, so the Midrash tells this interesting story about the Jews sinning and God asking the Avot for their reaction. And it ascribes a very particular trait to Yitzchak. Well, what is it, right? It puts Avram and Yaakov on one side and Yitzchak on the other. So, what trait does it ascribe to Yitzchak? What is Yitzchak? What's his role in this midrashic story? And what's he doing? He's acting as their father. But what is he? And what? Right? What is he?
He's
He's protecting them, right? He's acting, right? He's the protective person. His job in this story is to protect the Jewish people, to keep them going, right? The second role he has is at the end, right? Once he's managed to save the Jewish people, is to, right? They turn to him and say, "Oh, you saved us." And what does he say? "Don't look at me, look at God." So he has two roles in the story. He's the protector of the Jewish people, and he's the educator of the Jewish people. Right? He's the person that ensures the continuation of Jewish legacy. Now, I think that what Chazal are picking up on is that, in many ways, that is Yitzchak's role in Tanakh. Because if we think about it, right, we mentioned this a little bit last week, there seems to be an Avram-like figure in every generation of the Avot. Now, who is Avram? Avram is not a... Right, isn't the person who protects the legacy. He creates the legacy. He's the nation builder. Right, he's willing to leave his father's house and go and build a new nation. And Rivka takes that role in generation 2. By generation 3, who takes that role again? Yaakov, right? Yaakov also has to leave his house. He has to go back to Rivka's house. He has to go to Lavan's house. He has to go through the same struggles and come back. So Avram and Yaakov line up, and so does Rivka, with that model of nation building. We are the people who are willing to go against the grain for God. Now that personality, right, at some level you understand why that personality wouldn't have compassion for people who sin. Right? Because if you think about it, right, Avram and Rivka and Yaakov all start or spend time in a culture which is, you know, against godliness. Right, Avram in Haran, and Rivka in her father's house, and Yaakov in his 20 years in Lavan's house.
So when Avram advocated for stone, when he doesn't normally, so how does that?
Right, so I don't. So that's, you know, I think that it's not, you know, necessarily the Midrash is saying Avram has no compassion, right? You know, because yes, we can bring other stories where Avram is this, you know, defending stone. What I think it's trying to do is just highlight this, right? That at some level, you know, at some level, Avram's personality shouldn't lead to him having mercy on sinners or perpetual sinners. Because look, he'll say, look, I grew up in a sinful house and I managed to do good. And you're part of the Jewish people. You already have a heritage of doing good and you didn't, right? So we'll find somebody else. Somebody else will build a new nation. Rivka will say, look, I grew up in the house of Lavan and Betuel, and I managed to be good. So, okay, you don't want to do it. We'll find somebody else who's willing to be countercultural. You grew up in a righteous house and you're not righteous. What do we need you for? Yaakov spends 20 years in Lavan's house and still emerges to be righteous. So he'll say, you couldn't handle it, right? Again, you grew up righteous, but who's the one person who... Right, that was never his role. He was never countercultural. Right? He grew up and spent his entire life amongst righteous people. Yitzchak. Right? Yitzchak's role is different. He's not the nation builder. Right? What's his role in Tanakh? And we'll get to this in a minute. We'll prove it. Right? What's his role? His role is preservation. Right? His role is to preserve the nation, or more than that. It's meant to preserve the nation and fix problems. Right, he is meant to he closes circles, he sees issues, and he ensures that the legacy continues. He doesn't start new legacies, but he is the protector of Avram's legacy. Now let's prove that, right? I've asserted it, but let's prove it. Okay, so the Midrash in source 3 summarizes this point. And says, Bo Re'eh. Shekol Mashi'ira LaAvram Ira LeYitzchak. Everything that happened to Avram happened to Yitzchak. Avram Gala, Yitzchak Gala. Avram went into exile, Yitzchak went into exile. Avram Nistapku Al Ishto, Yitzchak Nistapku Al Ishto. Right, both of them, their wives were captured, and they had to deal with that. Avram Kanubo Plishtim. V'Yitzchakach, Avram and Yitzchak both had run-ins with the Plishtim. Avram Halid, Libasov, V'Yitzchakach, both of them had trouble with barrenness, and in the end they had children. Avram Yatzam Menu Tzadik V'Rasha, V'Yitzchakach, both of them had a righteous son and non-righteous son, and so did Yitzchak. Avram Haya Ra'av B'Yama, V'Yitzchakach, both of them had famine in their days, and so did Yitzchak Shenemar V'Yihi Ra'av Ba'aretz. So the Midrash highlights that everything that happens to Avram happens to Yitzchak. But it's not totally true. Because it's true that if I had to, you know, write an outline. You know, let's talk about these stages of their life. So the same things happen to each of them. But they don't react the same way. Right? Everything that happens to Avram happens to Yitzchak. And if you look at source 4, this is just the first pasuk of Parashat Toldot. Ve'eile Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham alid et Yitzchak. Now, these are the Toldot of Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. So what does that mean? So translate the word Toldot. It's a hard word to translate, and it's usually probably mistranslated. Right? It's normally understood to mean the children of, or the generations of. Right? The art scroll here translated offspring, right? But it doesn't work so well, because the first thing that we see after Toldot Yitzchak is Avraham Holid Yitzchak, that his father is Avraham. So Chazal, Rabbi David Foreman points this out, and I think it's correct the way Chazal understood the word, that Toldot in Chazal means legacy. And he notes, for example, Chazal in Parshat Noach say, and the pasuk says, Eile Toldot Noach, Noach Ishtam. Right, these are the toldot of Noach, and the first word is Noach. Right, Noach was a tzaddik, and Chazal build on that, and they say toldotav shel tzaddik maasim tovim, that the toldot, quote unquote, of a tzaddik are his righteous deeds. So they say, what was the tolda of Noach? Noach, the fact that he was righteous was his tolada. Well, you can't be your own offspring, right? But what is it? If tolda doesn't mean offspring, it means legacy, right? So then, legacy could mean your children, right? My legacy is that I passed on a message to the future. But it could just as easily be that my legacy is myself, right? That everyone knows me as personally perfected. But what else could it be? And in this case, what it seems to be is my legacy is that I, right? Avraham olid Yitzchak. I was the legitimate heir to my father's legacy. My goal in life was to ensure that Avram's legacy came to fruition. So now, with that in mind, let's see what Yitzchak actually does. So the Midrash made a list, and that's what this chart is, right? Simply a list of all the things that happen to each of them. But it doesn't actually happen the same way. And what we're going to see is that while, yes, Avram and Yitzchak both had similar lives, which emphasizes the fact that Yitzchak is sort of building an Avram's legacy, he fixes Avram's legacy. His goal is to perfect the legacy, to preserve it, to perfect it. Not to build a new legacy, but he is there to close the circles that Avram opened. So we can look, you know, we can look at Chumash. The chart will guide us through it. Okay. So the first one, barrenness. Right. This is famous. Avram and Yitzchak both don't have children, but right. The results are very different. Right. So Avram doesn't have children. So what is the first attempted solution to solve the barrenness problem in Avram's family? Right, and we can open Chumash. We'll open here to, let's see. The first one is, where is it? Is in Parashas Lech Lecha. In the beginning of Perek Tet Zayin, right? First attempt to solve the barrenness problem is, right? Perek Tet Zayin, v'Sarai eshet Avram lo yalda lo. Sarah had not given birth to children. So solution, right? Perek Tet Zayin pasuk Aleph, v'la shivcha mitzrid ushma Hagar. So she takes Hagar, and she says, "Vatomer Sarai el Avram." So she tells Avram, "Hine na tzarani Hashem milay, that God has stopped me from having children. Bo na el shivchati, come and be with my maidservant. Ulai ibanem imena, maybe I will be built up through her." Vayishma Avram the kol Sarai. So he listens. And now, what happens from that story? And how does that story go? It's an unmitigated disaster, right? Sarah gives her Hagar. Hagar starts belittling Sarah. Sarah gets angry, kicks her out of the house, gets angry at Avram, gets angry at everybody. Yishmael and Yitzchak are mortal enemies, right? He's trying to kill Yitzchak. They have to kick him out of the house for that reason, right? Very bad situation, right? And then, after this whole situation, eventually, right, we have Yitzchak. But, right, that first attempt at barrenness, right, to solve the barrenness problem, is a disaster. Eventually, we have Yitzchak, but there's a whole other story. And Chazal point to point out that it seems to be that Avram made a mistake. So if you look at, right, so we continue the psukim here. Vatikach Sarai Yeshet Avram and Hagar Mitzvit Shiv Chatam Miketz Ezer Shanim Leshevet Avram Beretz Kinaan. So Sarai took Hagar and gave her to Avram after 10 years. Vatitena del Avram Isha Lo Lisha Vayavol Hagar Fatar. So he married Hagar. He was with Hagar, and she became pregnant. Vatire ki harata, and she saw that she became pregnant. Vatekal givirta beina, and then she started treating Sarah lightly. Vatomer Sarai el Avram, so Sarai said to Avram, Chamasi alecha, my wrath is incurred against you. Anochi natati shivchati bechekecha, I gave you my shivcha, my maidservant, vatira ki arata, and look, she's become pregnant, va'ikal beina, and now I've become light in her eyes, yishpot Hashem beini ubeinecha, may God judge between us. But what's the problem? Right? Sarah's getting angry, but what's the problem with Sarah getting angry? She?
It was her idea.
She came up with the idea. Right? So the simplest understanding of the pasuk is as follows, that let's read Rashi first and see where he's coming from, right? Rashi here, this is source 5, right, says, Chamasi alech, I'm angry at you. Why? Chamas ha'asuili, this, right, injustice that's happened to me, alecha animatil onesh, I'm going to punish you for it. Why? Kishi hitpalalta lakadosh baruch hu, when you prayed to God, matiten li vanochi olech arri, you prayed for a child, you said, what am I going to do because I'm childless? Lo hitpalalta ela alecha, you daven for yourself. Vahayalach alitpalal al shneinu, you should have daven for both of us. You said you're barren, but you didn't say me. You complained that you didn't have a child. Good, now you have a child. But I don't have a child. But if you had davened, I would have had a child, not Hagar. Furthermore, and now you're listening to my humiliation, and you're silent. Now, well, where does Rashi get this from? Right, this notion that what she was angry about was that Avram didn't pray. So, what he's picking up on is that Avram says, What's the big deal? You're promising me that I'm going to be a big nation, but I don't have children. Meaning I'm going to have no legacy. So what does Sarah do? Sarah says, look, we need a child. So she can't have a child. So what is her plan in this story? Right? Let's read the psukim carefully. She says, right, I'll give you Hagar. Why?
To build Ibane.
What's Ibane? I will be built through her. So what does she say? Let Hagar be a surrogate of sorts, right? But I'm still going to be in charge of the legacy, right? I will raise the child to be my child, right? Physically, the child will be Hagar's, but I'm going to be the surrogate, right? I'm going to be the adopted mother here. I'm really going to follow your legacy. Now, when Hagar starts treating her lightly, right? Why would she treat her lightly if she thought that by her becoming pregnant, that what? She wasn't just having Sarah's child, she was becoming the mother of the dynasty, right? She was now the main wife, at which point, right, and how does she express that? By, if she thought that she was just the surrogate, but Sarah was still going to be the head of the household, then she wouldn't start treating Sarah lightly, but why would she if she thinks that by her having the child, she's taking over the legacy, she's going to be the mother, she's going to be the matriarch, at which point, Sarah reacts. What Rashi is picking up on is, what is she saying? You didn't make it clear that you wanted us to be the parents of the Jewish people. You just cared that you would have God's nation, but not me. So they both have barrenness, but Avram starts, before we get, eventually, yes, Sarah has a child, but Avram isn't the one who initiates that, right? Sarah's angry because he isn't ensuring that she's part of the legacy, as opposed to when it happens to Yitzchak, that's not what happens, right? When Yitzchak does it, so this is right at the beginning of Parsha Toldo, this is my Perek Chaf Hei, So they didn't have children. So pasuk chaf aleph vayetar Yitzchak laHashem lenochach yisho ki akarahi. Yitzchak davens opposite his wife because she's barren. So they both have a barrenness story, but in Avram's barrenness story, right? At first, Avram gets answered, and not Sarah, and then you have to go through this whole problem, and Yishmael has to get kicked out, and then Sarah has a child of her own. But Avram isn't, right? Avram, at some level, is culpable. That's what Sarah is saying. You didn't think I was necessary to this legacy. In the end, I am. But you didn't think I was necessary. Yitzchak, that doesn't happen. Right? Yitzchak, from step one, realizes that if Rivka is barren, then he has no other options. So he davens with Rivka, and they are answered. Right? So, yes, Avram and Yitzchak both have a barrenness story, but right, Yitzchak seems to fix a problem that existed in Avram's. Now, coming back to last week's theme, I think that the reason that Yitzchak never thought there was another possibility was because, right, as I said, I think Yitzchak's role is to preserve the legacy, but as I argued last week, the reason Avram is looking for a Rivka-like figure is because he needs every generation to have an Avram. So Rivka's role is to be the Avram of generation two, and Yitzchak, in his role as preserver of the legacy, realizes that she is as integral to this story as he is. So I think, right, it's not just that, right, he happens to, you know, be nicer to his wife, is that he realizes that she is bringing an element to the story that he doesn't have. His job is to continue the legacy. He recognizes that in order to preserve the Abrahamic legacy, he needs an Avraham. So what he does is he never thinks about preserving his own legacy without that of Rivka. So Vayetar Yitzchak LaHashem lenochach ishto ki akara, he prays with Rivka that not just that he should be answered, but that she should be answered, that they should be answered. So that's number one. Two, they both have famine, as the Midrash says. Great. Where does Avram go when there's famine? Egypt. Where does Yitzchak go? Gerar, because God tells him he's about to go to Egypt, and then God tells him, you don't leave Israel. Why don't you leave Israel? Right? Why Yitzchak uniquely is he not allowed to leave Israel? Because again, his role, and Avram begins the nation, but hasn't begun to settle yet. So okay, so he'll go to Egypt, he'll come back. Yitzchak's role is the preserver of the legacy. He doesn't get to leave. Famine? Sure. Leave where you are? Sure. Leave the land I promised you? No. Your job is to hold on to Israel, to hold on to the legacy of, I'm giving this land to your children. So yes, they both have famine, but it doesn't turn out the same way. So again, same thing happens, but Yitzchak starts fixing it, right? He starts, right, closing up the gaps in the legacy, right? I'm going to have a presence in Israel. I'm not going to leave when there's problems. I'm going to stay, right? Number three, right? The Midrash points out that both of their wives are abducted. But the stories happen differently. If we look back, right, when did Avram come up with the my sister lie? Right? Before they come. And what does Avram say? Why should you lie that you're going to be my sister? Liman yitavli bavurech. So it will be good for me. Yitzchak doesn't have that. Right, Yitzchak, he does have the sister lie, right? But first of all, he never adds the man yitav li bavurech. And also, right, does Sarah actually get abducted? Yes, twice, right? Does Rivka get abducted? No, he says the sister lie, but Abimelech is not sure that he's telling the truth, right? How do we know? Because the Pesukim say that how did Abimelech figure it out, right? This is in, right? This is Perek Chavav, Pasuk Vav. Right, so he does say, he's afraid, so he says, say you're my sister. But then in Pasuk Chet, It says that Avimelech vayik yarchuilo shamayamim, right? Took a long time. Vayishkeva Avimelech melech lishtim barach alon. Avimelech looks into the window. Vayarvinei Yitzchak mitzachek ed Rivka ishto. He sees that they're acting as a married couple. So she never gets abducted. Now, why wouldn't she have gotten abducted? Right? It's clear that Rivka that Avimelech wanted to, because the continuing stories, he says to Yitzchak, what are you doing? Right? We could have been, right, someone could have taken your wife. It's clear that there was an abduction about to happen, but he doesn't, right? With Avram, Sarah gets abducted, and then Avimelech finds out, and then Paro finds out. Yitzchak, it doesn't happen. So what does that imply about the story? Right, that Yitzchak, he may have said the same thing, but he doesn't, first of all, say, L'man yitav li bavarech. There's none of this, right, self, right, preservation in it. It's just like, we're going to be killed if I don't say it. But also, it seems to be that he was uncomfortable enough with it that he couldn't pull off the lie fully. That Avimelech is looking around. He's like, you say she's your sister, but you can't pull off that lie because your connection to her, right? He's looking. Yeah, something wrong. It seems like they are married. Let me, before I abduct her, let me look, right? Which implies already that, right, some of the mistakes Avram did where he's a little bit too quick almost to say, you know, she's my sister, and the Midrashim, you know, the Ramban calls him to task for this, right? Yitzchak doesn't have that. He does say it, but, you know, he seems to be more connected to Rivka in a way that he can't pull off that lie quite as well, right? So already there's, again, the same story, but it turns out much better for him. She never gets abducted, which again seems to be reflecting something about the way Yitzchak acts. Again, shepherd's fight. Right, both of them have a shepherd fight story. Avram and Lot. What's the result of the Avram-Lot shepherd fight story? They split. Yitzhak, what's the result of the fight? So the first two, they fight, and they stop up the wells. The second well, they stop up the well. But then, the third well, he perseveres and he wins. Right, so they both have a shepherd fight story. But Avram gives up. Right? Okay, so you take that part of the country, I'll take it. I'll forge my legacy wherever I want. Yitzhak says, I'm here, right? And I will fight until it works. The first time, the shepherds of Avimelech take away his, well, I'll get a second one. The second one doesn't work. The third one, it works. All right? He doesn't give up, right? Because, again, I think this fits the same picture. His personality is, I stick to protecting the legacy. I stick to protecting my claim in the land. And that's it. I'm doing the same thing Avram's doing, but I'm not going to let... Avram was the nation builder. Okay, he didn't build it here, he'll build it somewhere else. My job is to protect the legacy, to fix the hole, right, to fill in the holes of the first generation. So I'm not going to give up. And in the end, yes, they both have shepherd fights, but he wins as opposed to giving up as Avram did. They both have a sinful son, Yishmael and Esav, right? But what's the result of the right? What is Avram's right decision? How does he deal with his sinful son with Yishmael? He sends him away, right? How does Yitzchak deal with his sinful son? He tries to bless him, and as we'll see, some of the Midrashim think, if you want to skip to 8, right? Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav, the Midrash thinks that this wasn't that Yitzchak didn't understand what was going on. He said, V'chilo haya avinu Yitzchak yodeh b'maseh Esav shehen kiurin. Did Yitzchak not know that Esav's deeds were repulsive? V'akativ omer, alo misanecha Hashem, etc. He knew. Mipnei ma'avo, so why did he love him? Ela haya avo b'fana bilvad kedeh l'karvo moshcho. He treated him with absolute love when he was there in order to be Makari of him, right? To bring his son close, Sharei Kal Vachomer. But he said, Im Kshu Oavo Masa Mikol Kolon. If he said, when I love him, his actions are bad, right? Elasin Ovri Chakol Achet Vagamav Vakama. If I start hating him, I kick him out. How much worse is he going to be? V'amur Rabotena Leolam Tihi Yamin Mikarevet Usmol Doche. And that's what Chazal say. Always push away with the left hand, but pull in with the right. L'kach Nemar V'yahav Yitzchak Et Esav. So Midrash says that it wasn't that Yitzchak was naive. It was that Yitzchak was trying to keep both children in the legacy. Right? He was trying to not kick out one of his sons. Avram sent away Ishmael. Okay, ki b'Yitzchak yikarei l'chazara. It didn't work, but Yitzchak was trying to keep everybody in. He knew, and it was a calculated plan according to the Midrash. So again, right, if you put these together, it seems like, yes, Avram is the child, Yitzchak is the child of Avram. He has the same stories happen to him, but it's not the same. He's filling in holes. His job is to fix and protect the legacy and correct Avram's mistakes, both in terms of his relationship with his wife, right, making it clear that we build this legacy together and not I build it with Sarah, Hagar, whoever it'll be, right? Where I'm sure Avram wanted to be Sarah, but right, you have to go through a lot before that happens. Yitzchak, from moment one, recognizes the legacy is with this Avram-like figure, with the wife that he loves, right? He doesn't leave the land. He keeps fighting for the land and ends up winning and doesn't have to leave. Right? He tries to keep all his children together. You put all the pieces together, right, and it seems like Yitzchak is a very strong personality, but a very different personality. Right? Rivka is the Avram-like figure. Yitzchak is the preserver and fixer of the legacy of Avram. Okay. But I think it's even a little bit more than that. Because so far what I've basically said is, look, Rivka is Avram, Yitzchak, his job is to fix the legacy, and the reason Yitzchak and Avram get together, right, Yitzchak and Rivka are so good together, because you need an Avram, and you need someone who's going to fix the problems of Avram, and that's how the generation, right, generation two is going to move the legacy forward. But that's not the whole picture either. So that's source six, another chart, right? And this is, Chanoch Waxman points this out, and I like the way he sets it up. And he says, really, we've been a little bit vague with what it means for someone to be Avram, to follow Avram's footsteps. He said, let's take Avram's life and divide it, right? What characteristics identify Avram? So he said, the first is the Lech Lecha personality, the ability to leave your family, go out, build a nation, do what's right. This is the chart, bottom of page one, right? Now, who is clearly gets that personality trait? Rivka. Second thing is Avram is the Baal Chesed, right? The person running out there to help the guests, right? And who gets that again? Rivka. She's the one out there helping Eliezer, helping the camels, right? Those are the two things we highlighted last week. But there's another element to Avram's personality, and that is, right, the big story. The final test of Avram is the Akedah. Avram, in addition to being the nation builder, in addition to being the iconoclast, in addition to being the Baal Chesed, is also able to submit. He's able to, right, in the end, subdue his wishes for God. That story, do we have about Rivka? No. Right, the one thing we never see about Rivka in Tanakh is that she has that flip side, right? That she can be the, you know, leader, iconoclast, whatever. But when push comes to shove, if necessary, she could be, you know what? There's a limit. Sometimes I have to subdue to God. That we don't know about Rivka. Now, who obviously do we know that about? Yitzchak, but in more than one place. Obviously, in the obvious place, he is in the Akedah, right? But, and this is a fascinating point, this is source 9, this is the chart on the second page. So this is a chart taken from the Aleph Beta website, again from Rabbi David Foreman, where he points out that Yitzchak seems to go through two Akedahs, right? He has Akedah number 1, right, which is what we call the Akedah, but he has Akedah number 2. And if you turn to the Brachot story, right, where Yitzchak is giving the Brachot to Yitzchak, to Yaakov and Esav. So we are in Perek Chav Zayin. So now we here keep the chart with you and look at the psukim here. Right? Watch how the Torah linguistically connects this story. Now, what is, by the way, the story of the brachot? In essence, is the story of Yitzchak's attempt to pass on the legacy to the next generation. This is the story, right? If Yitzchak is the person responsible for the legacy, the bracha story is where he takes that responsibility and tries to give it over to the next generation. Okay? Now, in this story about passing on the legacy, right, listen for resonances of the Akedah story. So, but right, so the pasuk starts Kizaken. Vahi Kizaken Yitzchak. Yitzchak got old, but Techen Einav Meraot. Right, he started becoming blind. Vayikra Esav Beno Agadol. So he calls Esav Vayomer Elav Beni Vayomer Elav Hineini. He says, "My son," and he says, "Here I am." So, where have we heard that one before? So, if you go to the Akedah, right, you have both of those. First of all, you have Hashem saying Avraham, and he says, "Hineini," right? So, you have here, right? It's you also have a dialogue between Yitzchak and Avram, which goes Yitzchak saying Avi, right, my father, and he says, "Hineini bini," here I am, my son, right? When Yitzchak asks him, where's the sand? He says, God will show the sand. So, right, the language already, Vayomrei lav bini, Vayomrei lav hineni, where you have a father-son talking, just like you did Avram and Yitzchak a generation before. Now it's Yitzchak and Esav, Vayomrei lav hineni, hineni bini. Okay? That's one. Right? Then you have in this story, so he tells him, okay, Vata sana chelech atalichav kashtecha vetzeat sadevet zudalit zayed, go out and get meat. Vaseli matamim, bring meat, right? Now, do we have this in the Akedah, a question of where is meat? We do, right? Because Yitzchak turns to Avram and he says, Aye haseh, where is the animal? Where is the sacrifice? Right? Now, then we have, right, right, and then in this story, right, what does Yaakov brings meat. But let's go back to the Akedah. In the Akedah, right, Yitzchak says, where is the animal? And Hashem says, and Avram says, Hashem will show us the animal. Now, what was the plan? The plan was, until God changes it, who's the meat? Yitzchak. And in the end of the day, what is the solution to this horrible situation? The ayil, a different meat. Now, in our story, right, what do we have? Yitzchak says, where is the, right? He says to Esav, go hunt food. And what does he end up eating?
Different food,
which Rivka prepares, mm-hmm. Right? He looks for one and he gets something else, which replaces what he was looking for, right? Now, then you have, right, a moment where Yaakov comes in and Yitzchak says, how'd you get here so fast? Right? It's a question of something's not right. Right? How'd you get back so fast? Do we have a something's not right question in the Akedah? And he says we don't, but we actually do. Right? Oh, sorry. No, we do have it. He puts it on the right side. Right? In the Akedah story, we have the, right? Where is the seh? It's not just where is it. It's, wait a second. We're going to bring Karban. Something's not here. There's a moment of something's not right. And what's the response in both cases to the something's not right? In the Akedah, it's Hashem Yirelo Aseh Lo La Bini. God will show us the animal. And what does Yaakov say here? Right, this is Pasuk. Pasuk Chaf. Right, Vayomer Yitzchak Avinu, Mazeh Mi'artum So Bini? Vayomer Ki Yikra Hashem Elokecha Lefanai. Oh, right, there was something wrong. Right, who solved the problem? God, right? God brought in the meat, right? Isn't that what happened in the Akedah? Right? He said, isn't there meat missing? How did it, right? What are we going to do? And he said, don't worry, God will take care of it. Here we have the same thing. Yitzchak says, wait. The meat shouldn't have gone here so fast. And Yaakov says, don't worry. God was involved. Right? And then you have, right, in, right, so, I mean, you can look at the chart, right? He plays up on the issues I pointed out. But what he points out, I think, compellingly, that there's a few textual links that imply that something's going on, and we, you know, can explore everything if you want. He has an eight-hour series on phantom Akedahs in Tanakh and what they mean. This is one of them. Another is the Isha Shunamit. Another is the Ishmael story. Another is the Shmuel story. There's a lot of cases where we have a lot of it, but just the linguistic parallels point out that, right, at least for our purposes, that Yitzchak is the not just the present in Akedah number one, but he is the heir to the legacy of the Akedah, right? Because he, when passing on the legacy, The Torah brings in all these Akedah moments, right? So if we go back to who is really the heir of Avram, it's actually a little bit more complex, is that Avram has two parts to him. Avram, yes, has the outgoing iconoclast leader personality, but he also is able to submit, to subdue himself, to be sort of that quiet strength who says, this is what needs to happen because God said so, and I'm going to do it. I'm just going to push through. It's hard, and I'm going to do it. Yitzhak is, right, is the heir to that legacy, and Rivka, at some level, isn't. It's even more than that, right, that if you look in Source 7, right, Rivka seems to be, the, in many ways, the opposite of this, right? And this, Ray Waxman points out, and I think this adds to it very, very sort of sharply, is Sefer Bereishit is a story of chosenness, right? Now, who chooses the chosen person in every story in Bereishit except for one? Every story is, who's the chooser?
God,
right? Look, story number one, right? Bereishis. Hevel hevi gamhu mimichorot sano michel ve'en v'yisha Hashem el hevel minchato. Right? God turns to Hevel and not to Kain. Ve'el Kain v'amichato lo shah. V'yichar la Kain ma'od v'yiplu panav. God chooses Hevel, not Kain. Right? Who chooses Yitzchak over Yishmael? God. Right? Lech lecha. Next door. V'yomer Elokim. V'al sar eshtecha yolod lecha ben. V'karat eshmo Yitzchak. V'akim oti et priti ito. L'vrit olam. L'zara acharab. U'li Yishmael shumaticha. Hine berachti oto v'yifreiti oto v'yirbeiti oto v'mod ma'od. Shnei masar nisiyim yolid unintativ l'goy gadol v'et priti akim. Yitzchak asher teilid lecha sara l'moed hazeh b'shan acheret. Right? Yishmael I will bless, but he's not going to be your heir. God weighs in. Right? Where is the only case in Bereishis, where we see a person, well, actually not the first. Where's the first case? We see another one later. But where's the first case where we see a human being trying to play God? Rivka. Because Yitzchak is just following the normal rules of primogeniture and giving it to the oldest, right, to the oldest son. And Rivka comes up with a whole plot and forces Yaakov into it, right, to make him the chosen son. Now, you know, I leave at the end questions. This leads into is whether she was right or wrong, right? Whether, right, the whole trickery story was a good thing or a bad thing. And, you know, we can't discuss it now, but for now, and maybe that'll be next week, right, which is really the next story. That's why I put that as question this leads into. But before we even get to the question of whether she was right or wrong, the fact remains that she acts as God. She's the only person in the chosenness stories until Yaakov, much later, right, where he switches the hands with Ephraim and Manasseh, who does that? Until now, it's always been, there has to be an element of God choosing, right? It's God's choice, not man's, and Rivka doesn't have that, right? Rivka actively, right, goes around Yitzchak. That may be a good thing, right? Again, we'll come back to that maybe next week, but the personality point remains clear, that Rivka, we never hear that she is in the, right, has that ability to submit, right? She is always in the leader role. She's always going and making those decisions. But that other half of Avram who's willing to say, you know what, sometimes there are things I don't understand, we don't hear about her. That's Yitzchak, what Yitzchak adds to the, right, to the mix. So if we take it together, right, what I think, right, now we'll, right, build Rivka's personality, build Yitzchak's personality, and then put it together, right, is that I think we overstated it a little bit last week, right? Avram has two components to his legacy. He's primarily the iconoclast, leader, active, go-getter, Baal Chesed, right? But he's also the Avram of the Akedah. He's also willing to, able to submit to the will of God, right? In a passive way, be passive when necessary, right? Have the strength of, not of doing, but the strength of saying, right? I'm just going to do what you want. My goal, my job is to continue your legacy. I will do it as you see fit. If you think I have to kill my son, it'll be painful, but I'll do it. Right? There's a certain strength of character. It's not the go-getter personality. It's this. It's a strength to, right, to just persevere even when it's hard. Right? To be, right, passive at some level, not in a bad way, but saying that someone else is the main actor and I listen. Right, the ability to be to be submissive. Rivka, as we saw last week, clearly is the Avram in point number one and point number two. Right, she is leaving her land. She's the Baal Chesed. She is the leader. But as we see in sort of Toldos, it goes farther, right? That's, we don't actually ever hear the other part, right? She's acting like God. She's choosing who gets the brachot. She's the only the first person we see who decides that they're going to break the primogeniture, right? Yitzchak, right? Yes, Yitzchak is giving the bracha, but he's giving to the oldest son. That's the norm. Right? He's not trying to change anything. He's just trying to pass on the legacy to the oldest child. That's what happens. So she's very necessary for the story, but she doesn't have the whole legacy of Avram, right? The legacy of Avram and Sarah, really. So she can't do it alone. Yitzchak is a very strong personality, but his strength lies in his ability, right? To not be the iconoclast. He has one goal. He fixes the problems in the legacy. He protects and preserves the legacy of Avram to ensure it can survive into another generation. So we see that the Midrash characterizes it, right? That Avram and Yaakov at some level can't do that, but Yitzchak can. When we look at what it means for Avram and Yitzchak to have the same lives, it's not actually that they have the same thing, but the same thing happens to them, but Yitzchak fixes it, right? Both of them have barrenness. Avram, right, as Rashi understands it, is critiqued because he's willing to, you know, have the legacy by himself. He doesn't think Rivka is necessary. Yitzchak recognizes, no, for this legacy to be complete, we need both Yitzchak and Rivka. There's never a possibility that he's going to have another wife. The legacy will come from him, but not her. There's a famine. Avram leaves the land because, you know what, he could come back. He could build a nation. He's a nation builder. Yitzchak isn't. Yitzchak is meant to preserve. He stays in the land. He never leaves. Right, both their wives are abducted, but right, Yitzchak isn't comfortable about it. Right, he's very close to Rivka, and right, she ends up never being taken. Right, he's managed to avoid that danger. Both of them have shepherd fight. Avram says, "Okay, take half the land. I'll take the other half of the land." That's very much Avram, right? So I'll settle this half of the land, and we'll worry about the other half of the land later. Right? He goes out. He's a nation builder. Yitzchak says, "No, you know, I'll fight through it. Right, and I will win," which he does at the end. I put here also the covenant with Avimelech, right? That Avram makes a covenant with Avimelech, but it has collapsed by the time Yitzchak, right, is in the story, which it doesn't, right? Yitzchak, and also Avram first makes a brit. Avimelech says, "Make a brit." He says, "Sure," and then he makes complaints after. Yitzchak actually is willing to complain first and gets his way, right? He says, "You did something wrong." He forces Avimelech's hand before the brit and says, "You did something wrong. I won't make a brit with you until you admit you were wrong." He does, and the brit lasts. Avram's doesn't, right? It's already collapsed a generation later, but Yitzchak's doesn't. We never hear after Yitzchak that the brit has been broken. They both have sinful sons. Avram sends him away, right? Yitzchak, at least the way Midrash understands it, is trying to keep them both in. It might fail, but again, that's his personality. He's trying to keep both sons in, right? And then the last part, that legacy of Avram, of submission, right, is that he is both in Akedah number one, and the Torah draws attention to the fact that he is the heir of the Akedah. And then at that moment, when he's passing on the legacy to the next generation, the Torah borrows language from the Akedah to remind you, right, Yitzchak has that other component of Avram, that strength of character, of submission, which is what lets him just persevere even when it's hard, right? Which nation builders don't always have, because, right, nation builders, if this doesn't work, I'll go to something else. There isn't that same commitment that this is what I need to continue, and I will continue only this. So those are their two personalities, and now bring it together. I think that's, right, what the Torah is trying to illustrate with their relationship, is that, right, each Avram and Sarah had some level of that relationship, where Avram had one personality, right, and Sarah is the more, right, in the quiet role, but, right, she's trying to continue the legacy through her, right? She ends up winning, right? That's her personality also, right? That she pushes away Yishmael because she realizes how the legacy has to continue. It has to be through her, right? That's her role in that relationship. In Yitzchak and Rivka, it's switched, right? Rivka takes the active nation builder component of it. Yitzchak takes that perseverance, and the reason that right, their relationship is the way it is because they've switched roles, but just like Avram and Sarah in the end were necessary, right? Yitzchak and Rivka, they just happen to be, right, filling opposite roles, which means that together Rivka and Yitzchak fill all the components of Avram's legacy to bring it into the next generation. So that's, I think, part two of this story. Point, right, I think next week what we'll do is the brachot and the klalot, right? The brachot of Yitzchak and of Esav, whether that was right, right? Because now we've sort of brought us to that moment, so we'll see whether it's right, right? And there's a lot of ambivalence on it, and if it wasn't right or there were problems with it, what were the consequences to the story, right? And a lot of the Midrashim and the Ramban points on it, you know, picks up that if it was wrong, that might explain why Yaakov has so much deceit against him in his life. So I think we'll start that story now that we've sort of moved to the next generation, starting with that sort of formative moment of the next generation of the Avot.